Welcome back to the show. It's your host, Sean, and I appreciate you being here. Now, if you guys have been a longtime fan of Real Bearded News, then you know where I'm from. If you haven't, and this is either your first or second time listening to the show, then you know where I'm from. And I'm proud of where I'm from. I'm a huge fan of where I'm from. And I love every single moment of it. Now, that being said, I have the case that every New Yorker has, that we find every single opportunity to tell you where we're from. I'm from the Bronx, New York. Shit happens, right? That's from Terror Squad, if you didn't know. Specific song, Lean Back. Man, do I... I just sound out of place saying that in that manner. But I'm from New York, bro, and I love everything from New York. I love everything that comes out of New York. I love the food. I love everything. I think it was about a week ago when I was like, hey, I'm going to do a review on In the Heights and worst musical ever seen. Like, if you saw my Instagram, like, not only was it supposed to create hype or a buzz or something like, oh my gosh, why is it the worst one? Let me find out. But I had to postpone that because there were some personal issues and I actually had to fly out to New York to make sure things were okay. It was a family emergency, and everything's turning out to be better than what it initially seemed to be. And so now we're here, and we're going to talk about In the Heights, a Lin-Manuel Miranda play that I was able to see when I was young. It was like 2007 or 2006. I think it was 2006 when I was able to go watch In the Heights off-Broadway with Lin-Manuel still as Usnavi, our main character, our main rapper of the show. And I'm not going to lie to you, okay? For all of you who are my very, very close friends, you know the story already. It was about 2013, 2014 maybe, where I was working as a social worker. I might have been a little later than that. 2015, 2016. I was working as a social worker, and I was just getting into film. Not getting into film, but I was just like thinking about really making it in my career. And so there's this one day in my office and I'm like, man, I really want to do In the Heights, but like, I want to cast it. I want to be able to like film it and do it. And so I reached out to Lin-Manuel and I was like, yo, bro, like, listen, I saw this back when I was like 16. It was really impactful. We had a conversation, yada, 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 et cetera. You know, insert letter here. And I emailed it to him, right? And I was like, I'm hype. I have a good feeling about this. I have a feeling that he's going to say, yes, let's get it done, bro. This could be your breakout as a director. Like, in my mind, I was going far with this, right? But I never heard back. I never, like, I checked my junk mail. I checked my email. I never heard back, right? So a few years later, when I'm like, when I hear In the Heights is coming out as a movie, I'm not going to lie, I was pissed. I was upset. I was like, yo, homie took my idea and ran with it and yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. Turns out that they were thinking of, Universal Studios was thinking of doing In the Heights since 08. And in 2011, they pulled out of trying to film the movie. And so, yes, I had the idea of doing it, but it wasn't an original idea, clearly. And now John Chu, who did Crazy Rich Asians, is the one who was able to direct In the Heights and was able to bring this movie to the masses. Because not a lot of people go to Broadway, right? And so, yeah, I'm going to talk a lot of crap about this movie. But the reasoning that I'm talking crap about this movie is because I saw the play. And so, that being said, the fact that this movie is out is awesome because, you know, as a Latino from the Bronx, right? Like, I'm not from Washington Heights. I grew up literally, like, blocks away from Washington Heights. I went to school blocks away from Washington Heights. I hung out in Washington. I eat in Washington Heights. Anytime that I go back to New York, literally anytime. So anytime that I go to New York and I get off the plane, I have my car or I rent a car, I get on, and I go to 181st, and I eat in one of those Dominican places. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. It could be like 1 o'clock in the morning that I just flew in. My first task is to go eat at a Dominican restaurant. and get my papaya shake, because in Utah you don't get this, right? So that's literally, so Washington Heights, it's something that, you know, it's I grew up with technically. I didn't grow up in the Heights, but I know about the Heights, you know. If you know, you know. So it's pretty cool to see kind of like my people aren't really represented in the Heights, because I ain't Dominican, but I have a lot of awesome friends that are Dominicans. You know, a lot of the people that I dated when I was young were Dominicans, and to see Hispanic culture or a piece of Hispanic culture being represented in this movie, which was awesome to see in a play, it's really dope. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's awesome. It's great to see. That being said, it's a lot of issues with when this movie takes place or when the play takes place and things that they did. So let me talk about what they did right. The casting that they did was fantastic, I think. I have my issues with Benny being casted. The dude that played Benny, I'm not a big fan of his, but he sings great. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my gosh, he sounded awful. Benny, the way I saw Benny in the play when I watched it when I was 16, and again, and I mean, I've rewatched In the Heights throughout my life, throughout my adult life. You could find a bunch of YouTube videos of people who have done this production of In the Heights for their school or for off-Broadway or off-Broadway, and it's fantastic. I love every single moment of it. Benny, for me, was always a Latino that didn't know Spanish. Like a Puerto Rican that didn't know Spanish, right? A real New York Rican. A dude that was born in New York, but is Puerto Rican family and speaks not a lick of Spanish. If you don't know, these people do exist. There's also Dominicans out there that don't speak a lick of Spanish. This is what I saw Benny as. Benny was still a Latino, a black Latino, that because of where he grew up, he didn't know the language. He didn't know his native tongue, technically. But Latino nonetheless. And he falls in love with Nina, obviously. So if you haven't watched In the Heights, this review, it's going to have a few spoilers here and there, like Benny's in love with Nina. But aside from that, everything else was pretty cool. You know, it was the characters that they kept from the play, it was great. The movie was able to shoot some of these songs in a very different aspect that I don't think when you're watching the play, you're thinking about or imagining that that's the way that it could be in the big screen. And I think that was pretty, pretty awesome. Now, the things that didn't work for me, and believe me, I think a lot of the people that were like, oh my gosh, 5 out of 5 or 4 out of 5 or this is a, you know, 98% or whatever. I think these are people that didn't watch the play. And so for them, just seeing representation on the big screen, they're just excited and hyped about it. And you know what? They're right to be hyped about it. Because anytime that you see a Dominican on the big screen, they're probably a criminal. Or they're probably lumped in with Mexican and other in any other country that just so happens to speak Spanish. Now, what didn't work for me was the songs. And let me give you an example of some of the songs that were changed for whatever reason. And this is number one. And before I go ahead and I play these, I'm going to play the same song from about the same spot from the movie and from the play. The original soundtrack. Now, in this particular song, they killed off a character from the play. And this play, for me, and this character, excuse me, from the play, is very essential to the development of particular characters. Without this character, I don't think these two characters really work very well with each other. Nothing balances them. Because they're the same person, one just so happens to be male and the other female. But with this other tertiary character, that brings the balance. And I'll explain it after you guys hear this song.
Kevin Rosario, he runs the cab company, he struggles in the barrio. See, his daughter Nina's off at college, tuition is mad steep, so he can't sleep. Everything he get is mad cheap.
Good morning, Usnavi.
Pan caliente, café con leche.
Put $20 on today's lottery.
Okay, must be a lucky day.
Gotta be.
Next up to bat, the Rosarios. They run the cab company, they struggle in the barrio. See, their daughter Nina's off at college, tuition is mad steep, so they can't sleep. Everything they get is mad cheap.
Good morning, Usnavi.
Pan caliente, café con leche.
Put $20 on today's lottery.
One ticket, that's it.
Hey, a man's got a dream.
Don't mind him, he's all excited, cause Nina flew in at 3 a.m. last
Don't
night.
Don't look at me. This one's been cooking all week.
Now, I don't know if you guys were able to hear the differences in, like, the tone of the song, the way Mr. Rosario was able to, good morning, Usnavi. It's, like, a very, like, very sweet and, like, nice. And in the movie, you know, it kind of sounds a little aggressive, for the lack of better words, and it just changes the dynamic. But even more importantly is the little banter that you get between Mr. Rosario and Mrs. Rosario, which is Kevin's wife, right? His name is Kevin Rosario. Is Kevin's wife. And that little banter between back and forth of, like, one ticket, that's it. Because right off the bat, you already have Lin-Manuel, right? Excuse me, Usnavi, because we're talking about the movie and the play. You have Usnavi already telling you that everything they get is cheap because, you know, Nina's off to college and yada, yada, yada. But yet he's playing the lotto. So it shows you, hey, you know, this man has a business. He runs the cab company and all of this good stuff. But it's not enough money to keep his daughter in college. And he plays the lotto because he wants to be able to win and provide for his family without money being so tight. And so taking that out in the song, it just changes it, right? And so where it's like, put $20 in today's lottery, and then Mrs. Rosario chimes in, like, one ticket, that's it. It changes to, okay, must be your lucky day. It just doesn't feel right. It feels very, very off. And I don't know if you guys noticed that while you were, you know, watching the movie, that it was a little off the way that particular section goes off. Now, that was one example of lyrics being changed. Here's the second one, which I understand with the whole political tension that we have with President Trump being in office, but I don't think it warranted a change in the lyric, but in this particular case, is not that dramatic how things were changed. So check it out.
If I won the lotto tomorrow, well, I know I wouldn't bother going on no spending spree. I pick a business school and pay the entrance fee. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll stay friends with me. I'll be a businessman richer than Nina's daddy. Tiger Woods and I on the links and he's my caddy. My money's making money. I'm going from pole to modo. Keep the bling. I want the brass ring.
If I won the lotto tomorrow, well, I know I wouldn't bother going on no spending spree. I'll pick a business school and pay the entrance fee. Then maybe, if you're lucky, you'll stay friends with me. I'll be a businessman richer than Nina's daddy. Donald Trump and I on the links and he's my caddy. My money's making money. I'm going from pole to moto. Keep the bling. I want the brass ring like Frodo.
Now, did you hear the lyric difference there? In the movie, Corey says, I'll be richer than Nina's daddy. I'll be playing golf, like something along the lines of playing golf with Tiger Woods, and Tiger Woods would be his caddy. In the original, what it says is that Donald Trump and I on the links, and he's my caddy. So they changed from Donald Trump to Tiger Woods. It wasn't a big change, but, you know, it was still a lyrical change that was not necessary. Some of the difference also in the song was the way that it was said. When Christopher Jackson is singing this, it sounds hella braggadocious, right? Like, he's screaming, like, he's screaming and he's saying, like, this is what he wants if he won the 96,000. And it just sounds like you are getting hyped for Benny to, for him to win the 96 G's. Because you know what? It is what it is. Like, he's telling you, like, hey, you know, keep the bling. I want the brass ring like Frodo. Like, even though it's the same lines almost throughout the entire song, the way Corey sings it versus the way that Christopher Jackson sang it, there's a significant difference between it. Like, Corey sounds a little more softer, for the lack of better words. While, like I said, Corey Jackson sounded a lot, not Corey Jackson, Christopher Jackson sounded a lot more braggadocious about his situation if he won the 96 G's. Throughout the entire song, when you're watching the play, you hear Abuela, which we haven't spoken about. You hear Abuela, like, saying alabanza. So you already know what's going on over there. In the movie, you don't have that. In addition, they changed a lot of things between, a lot of interactions between, like, a lot of characters. So one of them was Abuela's interaction, where you don't hear her, like, saying blessed, right? Like, alabanza. The other thing is, when we come to, they're announcing that, yo, like, 96 G's were won from my store. It's Carla, or Vanessa, excuse me, is Vanessa that says in the play, oh, I never win shit. In the movie, it's some random ass dude that doesn't provide anything to the story saying that line. The other thing is, half of the time when Vanessa, so it's, we have three people, Carla, Vanessa, and Daniela, who are the salon ladies, right? These are our three main characters of the salon. Think about, each place has their own main character. So the salon has Carla, Daniela, and Vanessa. The bodega is Usnavi and his cousin Sonny. The cab company is the Rosarios, including Nina and Benny. Those are our main characters. And then in the building, we'll just say Abuela is the main character of the building. And so these main characters of Carla and Daniela, Vanessa in the play is always around because it's them three. They're the trio. Vanessa just has dreams. Carla and Daniela, not so much. In, at least that's not what it shows, that they have dreams the way that Vanessa does, right? Like, that's their goal. Carla and Daniela are satisfied running the salon. Vanessa wants to go out and do her own thing. She wants to get out of the hood. But in the movie, Vanessa is so far removed from Carla and Daniela that the lines that belong to Vanessa, when she does deliver them towards Carla and Daniela, it feels very out of place. The other thing that they changed to, I guess, to fit the climate that we currently live in, was they made Daniela and Carla. Daniela is older. She's the owner of the beauty salon. Carla's younger. They made them lovers. And it's explicit how you know that they are lovers. Like, you see them in the opening number, In the Heights. You see them waking up next to each other. There's a lot of other suggestions throughout the movie that they are lovers. But they also added this complete random character named Cuca, which, believe me, it's an actual name for a Dominican woman, okay? Or nickname for, not a real name, but a nickname for someone, right? You could find a Cuca when you visit the Heights. It is a possibility. But Cuca is this random-ass character who completes the salon trio, basically keeping Vanessa out of that crew, like, making her just like, oh, she just works there. But in the play, it's very obvious that Vanessa is part of the clique, is Carla, Daniela, and Vanessa. And that clique is what, that's a gossiping clique. That's the one that knows everything. So in the opening number, In the Heights, when you're like, when Daniela is telling the story of this dude and his wife, you know, it's Vanessa and Carla there, not Carla and Cuca, like, which is just so random. And so adding this random character of Cuca and killing off Kevin's wife, it's just unnecessary. And then they went ahead and took out a very good song that, like I said, so I was saying that killing off Nina's mom kind of threw off the dynamic between Kevin and Nina, because Kevin and Nina are essentially the same characters. One's a male, one's a female, right? Like, you come out as your parents. You end up having the same type of attitude as one of your parents. Nina just so happened to take the same attitude as her father. And so in the song Enough, we see Nina's mom having enough, obviously, of what's going on. And without that song, it really, you don't have any reconciliation. The way Nina and Kevin reconcile in the movie is very different to the way they reconcile in the play. And the reasonings are slightly different. I think it is dope, though, that they did tackle a lot of issues about immigration and stuff like that within the movie, because it was just a very, very different time period. The other song that they took out was Inútil, which means useless. And that was Nina's dad singing this song. It was his solo. And that song is impactful because it just shows how this father, who is working hard, busting his ass, trying to keep his family afloat and getting his daughter the best education she could get, how he truly feels about the entire thing. And that's how a lot of parents, not just in the Heights, but in New York and in the Bronx and all these poor neighborhoods, like, I can't speak about any other city, right, or any other state, but in New York, like, a lot of parents feel that way. They feel useless that, you know, they can't help their child or push them forward or get them out of these situations. Like, I know, you know, there was this one time my mom and I, we had this conversation, how she felt useless because I would, like, at this point, I was still living in the city. And, you know, I was always blessed to have really, really good jobs. But when I was in high school, like, she felt useless. She couldn't help me with my homework. You know, she didn't know trigonometry and all this other crazy crap that they were teaching us, which, by the way, I don't use to this day. But this song really was impactful. And for me personally, it was a song that, you know, helped me understand parents, helped me understand my mom, how she felt about the entire thing, about not being able to help when I needed the help, right? And so taking out some of these songs just to either, you know, be okay with the runtime. The play itself takes about 2 hours with a 15-minute intermission, excuse me. And so they could have done a two-hour movie. We sat around for a four-hour film from Zack Snyder. And so we could do the same for this. In the Heights, it's a very bohemian show where everyone has a dream and they want to accomplish it. And so it's like Rent, but I think Rent, the movie, did a better job in translating from musical on Broadway to silver screen. In the Heights, for me, just misses the mark because they killed off characters that didn't need to be killed off. And they took out a central part. So I think In the Heights, the play takes place in 2013 when we had a blackout in New York. And that's where the song Blackout comes out. And during this time, there was a lot of looting that happened in the Heights, in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, Queens. And we don't see this in the movie. Instead, we see people lighting up fireworks and pretending like it's like a very good thing. When the blackout happened, people were terrified because there was looting out in the streets. People were breaking in. And this is something the play shows very vividly. It shows that Usnavi has to go back to the store because of because of the blackout. We see Sonny with a bat, and the little punk that Usnavi's always chasing away, we see him there as well, and he's doing graffiti and all this other crazy stuff. Like, it shows a very vivid representation of what's going on, or what happened during the blackout, which I think if they would have put it in the movie, like, yes, the In the Heights is a very uplifting thing, but it's okay to show that some crime happened. Like, I feel like they tried to really, for the lack of better words, whitewash in between comillas, in between quotes, they tried whitewashing what happened during the blackout. And so some of the songs don't really go well because in the lyrics are talking about one thing, and in the movie it's showing something completely different. And so it's a little off. The way I will 100% say, the way that I think her name is Olga did, Olga Merides. I'm going to keep this in because it was just hilarious me trying to say it in English. The way Olga Merides did Paciencia y Fe, which is that impactful, powerful song about this old lady, dying during this blackout. And actually not even dying during the blackout. She dies a little afterwards, but this whole song is just a very powerful song, and I'm so happy that they kept it in. Better yet, the visuals of this song particularly were phenomenal. That alone is one of the reasons that it got a, you know, that I enjoyed it. Now, it's been 30 minutes of me talking about In the Heights. So should you watch it? If you watched the musical when it was on Broadway or off Broadway or off Broadway, or even if you've watched In the Heights, the musical on YouTube, don't expect it to be the same thing. If you are a fan of musicals and if you've watched them live in as actual shows, and then you've watched their movie representations such as Phantom of the Opera, Rent, Les Mis, do not expect this to be that. They did, I'm going to go ahead and say that I believe they did what they thought they could. And it might be that the studio had so much intervention in what they were doing that it caused for a lot of the changes and differences of the between the show and the movie. That being said, for what it is, it's an okay musical. It's the songs that they did keep in and they didn't change were fantastic. Even those that they did change here and there were still pretty fun to listen to. The dancing, I loved it. The choreography, I can't even front about the choreography. It was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed that. Unfortunately, this movie, it's not in the heights for me. It was really in the lows. And so, that being said, for the first time ever, a musical for me, if you know me personally, you know I love musicals and I sing them consistently. For me, this one is just a 1 out of 5. The choreography was fantastic. The songs that they did keep in, they did an okay job with. But I feel like they changed a lot that didn't need to be changed. In this day and age, when we get 2-hour movies, 2.5-hour movies, 4-hour movies, there's no reason that you can't adapt something as fantastic as In the Heights to be fantastic on paper, like in the silver screen. It's not like the show didn't run for so long. Like, the show ran long enough. And if you didn't know anything about it, do your research. And, you know, that's how I feel about it. Like, the research should have been done. I mean, Lin-Manuel was in it. Christopher Jackson was in it. They played the Piragua Man and the Ice Cream Man, respectively, which is, that's a really fun little dynamic there. But they didn't have to change the things. And I don't know if Lin-Manuel agreed to some, obviously he had to agree with some of the things, or I guess the better sentence would be like, I don't know why he agreed to some of the changes that were made. But I would say this is a movie that you could honestly, if you have HBO Max, by all means, stream it. Should you go watch it in the movies? I wouldn't pay $15 a ticket to go watch something that the live musical did a better job, or a little bit of research would have really elevated the movie a lot. So that's how I feel about In the Heights. It gets a 1 out of 5. And it hurts me because In the Heights is one of my favorite plays. My ultimate favorite play is Rent. In the Heights was a really, really close like second or really close number one for me growing up. So I still listen to the original soundtrack of In the Heights. I sing it. I rap it. It's really fun. But that's it. Thanks for listening to today's episode. It is what it is about some movies that come out. And I'm glad that you were here. And I'm glad you were able to agree or disagree with me. And I would love to know your opinions about In the Heights. Go ahead and hit the like button. Hit subscribe to Real Bearded News. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. That's where you'll see all of my pre-thoughts before I go ahead and do a full little review for you. And so let me know what you thought about In the Heights. Was it In the Heights for you, or was it In the Lows? And that's the joke that I'm going to keep using because I love it. So between the next time that I tell you what you should be watching or what you should be avoiding, don't forget, keep watching that anime, keep reading those comic books, rock and roll, and above it all, stay nerdy, guys.